Proverbs 3, verse number 30. It says, "Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." I want you to look at verse 31. That's the thought tonight. Verse 31 says this. It says, "Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men." Just remember, I'm going to go ahead and preach at this moment. I know we had special tonight, but I want to just go ahead and jump right into this passage tonight. And I just want to give you the heads up on the passage. Am I on, Brother Bond? Am I okay? All right, just making sure I don't hear myself. In this particular passage, look at verse 31. The person speaking here is Jesus. And I'll explain in just a moment. But Jesus makes the statement. Chapter 8 is a personification of Christ. It says, "Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, God's earth, and my delights were with the sons of men." And I want to preach for a few moments tonight on Jesus' delights in being with me. And Jesus delights in being with me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for your word. Lord, I should please take these thoughts. And Lord, again, help us tonight. Forgive us when we fail you as Christians. And Lord, help us to realize that you do delight in being with us. And Lord, may we see this for ourselves tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, church, I want you to think. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Proverbs chapter 8 is always a difficult chapter. I don't know how much you study the book of Proverbs or not. I would say, to me, in my opinion, chapter 8 is probably the most difficult chapters to memorize and even to get a concept of what's going on. All right. Now, I'm not going to take detail. I'm not going to go in detail tonight of this chapter. I just want to point a few things out and get us to our portion of scripture. But chapter 8 is talking about wisdom. You look at the first part of chapter 8, verse number 1, it says, "Doth not wisdom cry?" And then it goes through several things. It talks about wisdom's cry, and talks about how she speaks righteously, and she speaks in various places, at the gates and at the city, the gates of the city coming at the doors, verse number 3, etc. It talks about how it's worth more than gold, silver, rubies, or all you could ever desire. Verse number 10. It says, "Receive my instruction, not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." It talks about how it's the opposite of sinfulness or evil. Verse number 13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way." But when you get down to verse number 22, it gets into a very... it puts wisdom in it as a person. All right. Now, please don't let me lose you here. But look at verse 22. It says, "The Lord possessed..." What's the personal pronoun? All right, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way." In other words, God possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Now think about before his works of old means before creation. He goes on to say, verse 23, "I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was." Let your family think about it. Who's from everlasting to everlasting? Well, God is. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit always have been. They always will be. All right. He goes on to say in verse number 24, kind of a description of the creation almost as far as him being there. Verse 24, "When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he gave to the sea his decree, that the waters should not pass his commandment. When he appointed," not talking about God, "when God appointed the foundations of the earth, then I," Jesus, "was by him," God, "as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him." Now, just tell me, I know this is probably to some of you very elementary, but I believe that it's the beginning of the chapter is talking about wisdom, and then it puts wisdom with a person. And by the way, if you go to the book of Colossians, I believe it is, it talks about how Jesus was in all wisdom. All right, so the personification, if we were to say the person of wisdom, like for instance in the book of 1 John, God is... love. All right. Close. All right. Light. Close. All right. But God is love. All right. But by the way, God is light. All right. You were right. And that's probably in 1 John 2. But the statement God is love, it mentioned over and over and over, the personification of love is God the Father. Are you all with me tonight? All right. Say amen. All right. God is love. In this particular passage, Proverbs 8, it's giving the personification of Jesus Christ being wisdom. All right. Wisdom is worth more than gold, silver, rubies, all the person can desire. Wisdom, we would say, is for us to, of course, my definition of wisdom is a knowledge plus understanding equals wisdom. And we're not going to get to all the bases of wisdom tonight. But I want you to understand that Jesus is wisdom. All right. The personification of wisdom. Now, stay with me. Look what he says here now. In Proverbs 8, in verse number 30, the rejoicing is with God the Father. Verse number 30, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight. All right. Now, verse number 31 says, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. All right. Now, church family, think for just a moment tonight. All right. Now, church, I'm going to go through this with you. If you don't mind, I want you to stay with me. I want to say one more thing. Mrs. Allen, if that thing is not hooked up into this thing, it's not going through the internet radio. OK, so I want to make sure you guys are all together tonight. Now, church family, stay with me tonight here on this thought. Jesus rejoices with God the Father. Who's he rejoicing with? Talk to me. In verse number 30. In verse 31, Jesus is rejoicing, in the habitable part of his earth. Whose earth? God's earth. All right. So Jesus is rejoicing in the habitable part. Now, the word habitable means the inhabitants. In other words, Jesus is rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. And my delights are with the sons of men. Now, the sons of men is mankind, not just the male, but female, both with mankind. Now, church, I mean, here's what you think about tonight. The Bible just tells us in verse 31 that Jesus' delight, the word delight means enjoyable or pleasant. In other words, something that he looks forward to. Jesus delights in being with the sons of men. Now, children, we also know that the psalmist said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him. Now, church, that's Psalm 8, verse 12, I believe, or 4. Do you understand that what God's trying to teach us here is that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We do not walk physically with Jesus in the flesh, but we walk with Jesus when it comes to open up the Word. Jesus delights to be with us. All right, he delights that. In other words, can I tell you something? Tomorrow morning when you get up, you have a date. That date is with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's looking forward to it. Tonight you came to church, you got your Bible in your hand, and you opened up the book, and Jesus, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. In other words, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who are one, his eyes are upon us. He delights to meet with us. He delights to spend time with us. And here we have in this passage here, in verse number 31, says, rejoicing, Jesus now rejoices in the habitable, the inhabited parts of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men, with mankind, now therefore. Now, just let me think for just a moment here in verse 32. In verse 32, the first two words is now. Now what? Okay, the beginning of the chapter, here's what wisdom is. Doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high place in the place of the past. She crieth in the gates in the city. You understand, wisdom's crying out. She's in every place. And God wants us to have wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, when you get farther down in the passage, it changes from us getting wisdom to the person of wisdom, which is Jesus Christ. And the person of wisdom is where we get wisdom from. All right? I can't quote this one off the top. I mean, I could, but I want you to look at it. Flip back a couple chapters here in chapter number 2. In chapter number 2 of Proverbs, the Bible says this. All right? Oh, let's see here. Verse number 5, the word then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse number 6, for the Lord giveth, what's the word? Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. All right, now I believe knowledge plus understanding equals wisdom. Knowledge is the facts. Understanding is the comprehension of those facts. Wisdom is the use or application of those facts. I believe that wisdom is just simply the knowledge, the understanding of it, me doing it. Alrighty? And we only do it. And by the way, a person can define wisdom a lot of different ways. It's seeing things as God would see them. And I would agree with that too. There's a lot of ways you can look at wisdom. But what I'm trying to get you to see in chapter 8 is this, is that he explains what wisdom is and what wisdom does. But then in the middle of the chapter, verse number 22, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, wherever the earth was. When there are no depths, I was brought forth. When there are no fountains abounding with water. He goes and he talks about how Jesus was before the creation of the world, and how Jesus is not just the person is not just the person who gives it, he is. By the way, chapter 2, verse number 6 says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom." There's nobody wise in here of themselves. We're only wise because of the wisdom that God gives man. All right? By the way, we all need wisdom. All right? We all desperately need wisdom. That God would teach us and that we would be teachable so that we could teach somebody else. And here you have in this passage that Jesus personifies. But here's what I'm trying to get you to see tonight. Well, all this said about. Jesus said, "I rejoice with the Father, but I rejoice with the sons of men. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. And my delights were with the sons of men now." In other words, watch me now. Because, church family, remember the verse? Let me see if I've got it here. Amos in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy 2:5, the Bible says this: "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man." Who is it? Exactly. The man, Christ Jesus. So here you have, in verse number 30, I believe, he's rejoicing with God the Father. In verse 31, he's rejoicing with the sons of men. All right? That's because Jesus, who is wisdom, is the mediator between God and man. Are you with me so far? All right, so when he says, "Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, my delights were with the sons of men," now, here's what now, therefore, here's what he's trying to say. Now, do it now, at this present time. "Now, therefore, knowing that I want to be there with you, knowing that I'm wisdom personified, knowing that I would like to give you wisdom, that I've been with God the Father, I've rejoiced with him, I want to be with you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will" what? "I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." You understand that Jesus delights in spending time with you. Jesus delights in meeting with you. And he wants to meet with you. Hey, how many believe that Jesus is real? Somebody say amen. You know, it's amazing. We can trust him for salvation and with his death on the cross and his blood to be shed to give me eternal life. But we do not envision that that same Lord and Savior that died up on that cross is the same Lord and Savior that wants to show up on a daily from sunup to sundown. That's what that word daily means. He wants to daily show up in our lives because he delights to do so. That's what he's saying. "Now, therefore," here's what he says. He says, because I delight in being with you. He says in verse number 32, "Now, therefore," what's the next word? Now, this word hearken is mentioned three times. Look at verse 32 again. "Now, therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways." Verse number 33, first word. "Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that" what? Here, are y'all listening tonight? All right? Now, listen, I don't know if you're tired tonight, but I need you to focus for just a few moments tonight. I want you to understand that you're about to embark on 2016. And church family, I want to tell you something. Today's the 30th of December, and I understand that here tomorrow we're going to have our New Year's Eve service. And I remember, and just a few moments ago, I gave you an envelope, said, "Hey, listen, if you don't have a plan, you're not going to hit anything." And I want to tell you something. Nobody is too old not to stop and think, where am I going to be in 2016 and what does God want for me in my life? I've sat down with person after person and I remind them, push yourself forward academically, push yourself forward spiritually, push yourself forward physically. Don't stay the same. The older we get, desire faileth, does it not? But I want to tell you, you've got to push yourself. And I want to tell you one area you ought to push yourself, and that's meeting with Christ every day. And one area, and the reason for the daily devotionals, and I can't encourage you enough. And if you've got a plan, keep your plan. I'm going to tell you, worst thing you can do if you've got a plan that works is change plans. You got a plan that works, keep it up. But I want to tell you something. If you don't have a plan, you've already begun to fail. And I'm talking about your spiritual life. I'm talking about meeting with Jesus. Rejoicing in the habitable part, your Heavenly Father, your Son, the Son Jesus Christ. He says, man, I'm looking forward to meeting, rejoicing in the habitable part of this earth, and my delights with the sons of man. I take pleasure in spending time with people, God's creation. Why would the God of heaven take pleasure in meeting with his creation? I have no idea, but he does. And I want to tell you, here's what he says, "Now therefore hearken." Hey, I want to tell you what you need to do. Three times it's mentioned in verse 30, 31, and 32. He says, "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children. For blessed are they that keep my ways." He says, hey, listen, hear, listen. Hey, can I tell you what? Every time you open up that book, you ought to pray Psalm 119:18. "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Open my eyes.
God, I want to hear from you. I want you to speak to me. Hey, if that's the Word of God, and if that's really the Word of God, then God wants to speak to us. You say, Pastor Hanks, I don't know what he's saying when I get to the Chronicles and it's so-and-so begat so-and-so. I want to tell you what he's saying. So-and-so begat so-and-so. He said, when I get to the book of Revelation, and man alive, you've got this red horse and this black horse and the pale horse and all these other horses, and I don't know which horse means what. I want to tell you what it means. It means red horse, black horse, pale horse. I just want you to understand that every word of God is pure. I want you to understand that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Old Testament is important. The New Testament is important. The Chronicles are important. The Kings are important. The book of Revelation is important. I had a guy this last week said, you know, there's so many things that I don't understand about the Bible, so I just don't believe any of it. Well, I want to tell you something. The problem is that some things that God are revealed in Scripture, Deuteronomy 29:29. There's revealed things in Scripture. There's secret things in Scripture. So, Sam, can you imagine the New Testament saints? Let me back up. Can you imagine the Old Testament saints? The Old Testament saints had no idea of what we would refer to as the church age. Why do you think the disciples said to Jesus Christ before his death and even after his resurrection, hey, when are you going to set the kingdom up? Because they had been reading the Old Testament, and in their timeline, they had all these things that were supposed to take place, and the last thing was in their timeline is the Messiah was supposed to come. But they had no idea, because of the secret things that we understand now because of the New Testament, that there would be Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. He'd be sitting on the right hand of the Father, and then an undesignated or unknown time until Christ raptures us out of here. There's a big question mark. Well, they didn't know that blank period of when the Messiah was going to die on the cross to the time that Messiah was going to come back. They thought that at Christ's first coming, that it was really his second coming. Now, we read the New Testament, we understand there had to be a first coming and that there will be a second coming. But there is a mystery to them. Hey, can I tell you something? There's a lot of mysteries that I don't understand, but it's still the Word of God. There's a lot of things I don't completely see clearly on what God's trying to teach me. But I understand that it is the Word of God. God delights, the Bible says there, in being with me. So he gives us three things here, and here's what they are. He says, first of all, now therefore, because I delight in being with you, first of all, I want you to hear. The second one is there in verse, go a little farther down there, in verse number 34. Blessed is the man that, first of all, heareth me. Second of all, watching daily at my gates. Now, church, I want to do both these together, if you don't mind, just to explain. In verse 34, the last phrase says this, waiting at the post of my doors. Now, there's three things that he mentions here. They're all here in verse number 34. He says, okay, because I delight to meet with you, I want you to hear. Because I delight to meet with you, I want you to watch. And because I delight to meet with you, I want you to wait. That's what he said in verse 34. Now, therefore, he says, because I rejoice and delight, I make merry. It's pleasant. I take pleasure in meeting up with you and being with you. Because of that, I want you to hear. In verse 34, I want you to watch at my gates, and I want you to wait at the post of my doors. Now, church family, I would agree that there's probably a lot more deeper meaning to this passage than I could explain, okay? But I believe that God uses specific words to teach us things. For instance, when he says, blessed man, hear of me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Well, when I look in the scriptures and I follow the word gates and doors out, gates were things that were on the walls or the outside of the city. Doors were the individual home that a person would come to. Right now, I can make several applications here, but I do understand that God uses two different words there. One gates, one doors. And the gate was what was at the city gate when a person would come into the city. And the door, and I know there's several different uses of the word gate and door, but for the most part, I mean, it was talking about a city gate and it was talking about doors. In fact, at the beginning of the chapter, it mentions the same thing. I won't look at it with you, but in the, I think the first five or six verses there, it talks about gates and doors, about wisdom speaking. Now, here's what I'm trying to get you to think about. God says, I want to meet with you. And some of you are going to, and by the way, you follow that word gates. The other place the word gate is mentioned several times in the book of Revelation, specifically chapter 21, when it's talking about the 12 gates in heaven. And of course, the New Jerusalem is going to come down upon earth. So there's several applications with it. We're talking about heaven being the gate.
And then door, you know, I look at Revelation 3:20 and I think about God coming to our door. The door is the more personal side. Now, here's where I'm trying to go with all this, okay? All I'm trying to get you to see tonight is Jesus delights to meet with you. And God says, if you're going to meet with me, first of all, you're going to hear. Second of all, you have to watch. Third of all, you have to wait. And sometimes that watching is at the gate. It's maybe a little bit farther out. It's the day-to-day, because that's what he uses the word. Watching daily at my gates. The word daily there means from sunup to sundown. It means daily. It means continuous is what it's talking about. That God says, I want you to watch daily at my gates. Here's what he's saying. Pray without. Hey, you know what God says? I delight to be with the sons of men daily. From the time you get up to the time you go to bed. He says, can I tell you something? It's not just your devotions in the morning that Jesus is looking forward to. That we read the Word of God. And of course, Jesus is the Word of God. He does look forward to meeting us like that. But you know what he really delights? He delights from the first time you get up in the morning that your thoughts about him. And you say, God, thanks for a good night's rest. And God, help me today as I get going and lead me in the right direction and put things together. And you're conscious, you're getting ready in the morning and you're starting to, I don't know how you do your prayer time, but obviously you pray the model prayer for yourself and you pray maybe the Jabez prayer. But then you start to pray for others. You say, God, please help so-and-so today. And maybe when you're driving to work, you're thinking, you know what God's looking for? My delight is with the sons of men. Jesus delights walking with you from sunup to sundown. Watching daily at my gates. I think it's more of the spirit-filled life, the spirituality of a person to have that God consciousness on a regular basis. God delights in that. And then he goes to this, waiting at the post of my doors. Now, of course, Jesus said he was the door. Application of that, I believe, is the Word of God. I believe that when we spend time with him on a personal level, we are waiting. Be still and know that I am God. Now, I'll try to do this together. I'm done. I don't mean to go all around the barn and lose you tonight. But here's what I'm thinking in my mind. The Bible says that Jesus said, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, talking about God's earth, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. I delight to be with them. Now, therefore, because I delight to be with you, you better be listening. Now, therefore, because I delight to be with you, you better be watching. God, I know there's no accidents with you. This flat tire is not an accident. This bad traffic's not an accident. My boss getting upset today is not an accident. Watching daily, conscious of God. And then watch now. Because I delight to be with you, I want you at my door. I want you to come where it's personal. I want you to be close to me. You know, the Christian life is not a 9-to-5 job, is it? It's when you come to church or when you go home. It's when you go home, but it's when you go to school. It's when you go to school, but it's when you go to work. You know, I just want you to know, Thomas, go ahead and come here. I'm not trying to lower the deity of God. But can I tell you something? I hesitate in using the right word because he's God. Jesus wants to pal around with you. Jesus wants to be your friend. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, a friend that loveth at all times, a friend that laid down his life for you. He wants to spend time with you. And so you know how he closes the chapter out? He says there's some of you that will find life. It's the second to the last verse. And then the last verse says there's some of you that are going to love death. Can you read the second to the last verse, Brother Ham? Read it out loud for me. Now think about this in context. Jesus delights to be with you. Now therefore, because I like to be with you, hear. Because I delight to be with you, watch. Because I delight to be with you, wait. And you know what? Whoso findeth me, Jesus Christ, whoso findeth me findeth life. That's not just talking about eternal life, though it can be applicable to that. The word life there means strength. It means it's the grace of God upon our life. It's the goodness of God upon our life. He says, whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me, you know what sinning against God is? Are you listening tonight? Say amen. In context, you know what sinning against God is? I don't have time for you, Jesus. I'm going to live my life and fill my mind up with so many other things that I don't think about Jesus.
He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. You hurt yourself. He that hateth me. Isn't it interesting how God uses such a strong word? Trisha, I hate to say this. I use it too. Thank you, Rich. Hey, can I tell you something? When you don't read your Bible, when you don't spend time in prayer, when you come to church unconscious of God, when you go to work and unconscious of God, it's like saying, I hate you. Because you know why? He loves you.
Right.
You guys that are married in here, can you imagine every time you wanted to get close to your spouse, they pushed you away? That's what it's like when you don't spend time in your Bible. That's what it's like when you go through the entire day and not have one thought about the person who delights to be with you. I don't understand why the God of heaven takes pleasure. That's what the word delight means. Takes pleasure in spending time with a sinful person. God says, hey, listen, you can either find life or you can love death. And it all goes with hearing. God, what do you want me to do? Watching. God, I know that didn't happen by accident. I know you had a plan today. Waiting. Father, open thou mine eyes, and I behold wondrous things out of thy law. Hey, I just want to tell you something. He wants to spend time with you.
Amen.
You can either have life or you can have death. You get to choose. 2016 is here. And I just want you to understand something, church family. The wonderful thing about Jesus Christ is if I didn't want to spend much time with him before, I can spend time with him now. Because he's still what? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. That's not a salvation verse, by the way.